Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God, who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Genelation Baptist Church, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Genelation means we have a finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget songs brought our forefathers and mothers over. I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, training them in the fear of the Lord, and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship from time to time without any music, because I never want my church to get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody said, life. It is the only weapon we have. The thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. I don't care where you live. Somebody said, that is the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly this morning to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 5. And I'm going to begin reading at the 11th verse. Nehemiah 5. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus: Restore, I pray you, to them, even as they, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the 100th part of the money and of the corn, the wine, and the oil that you all have taken from them. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. And then I called the priests and I took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. I also shook my lap and said, so God, shake out every man from his house and from his labor, that form of not this promise, even thus be shaken out and emptied, and all of the children of Israel said amen. You know what the congregation says? All the congregation said amen, and they praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say amen. Please forgive me for my congestion, but I shall come through this morning. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text, and before I give the text, I'm bothered. Well, yes, I am. I'm bothered this morning because we have people that are supposed to be working together, and yet they are oppressing one another. He comes to the place where he calls them together to make a promise and a hope that this kind of thing will no longer take place. And then he says something strange. He says, now, if any man, if any woman does not keep this promise, he says, Lord, now he's not talking to the deacons because he doesn't need a vote on this. He's not talking to the trustees. He doesn't need a check or a money or, but he said, Lord, he's talking to the Almighty God. And he says, if they don't keep this promise, I pray that you will shake their house and everything that's in it and all that they have. And you know what? That's what I want to talk about this morning, just for a little while. If you will, please, somebody repeat after me. Somebody say, it's time for shaking. Oh, glory to God. It's time for a shaking. And the people of God said amen, and they begin to praise God. Oh, it's in the book. I found out the hardest thing there is to do is to get people to sense a move of God. And then not only sense a move of God, but to find themselves in a position where they become vibrant participants in what it is that God is doing. I need your prayers this morning. I need your prayers because I found out, my brothers and my sisters, that it's just hard. It's just hard to get people to see what it is that God is doing and how God is going to work it out, and then to get them to support it with all of their heart, mind, and soul, and vitality. Somebody say it's hard. I need you to understand that I've already come to a few conclusions about this matter under the power of the Holy Ghost. And one of the reasons are, somebody say number one. Number one, I found out that the reason people don't get the sense of the move of God is because they cannot separate the fact that God is using them in the plan, and they think that they are the plan. Because you know there is a difference. So I need your prayers this morning. I believe I'll say that one more time. I found out the reason people don't get the sense of the move of God is because they cannot separate the fact that God is using them in the plan, and they think that they are the plan. And I need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the powerful move of God moves in such a way that he allows all of us to be part of what he is doing. As a matter of fact, I hear the word of the Lord saying that I have a plan for your life. Oh, yes, I do. And the plan is for you to prosper and not fail. And so that because he allows us to be part of the plan, we should not walk around so holier than thou and act like we are the plan. Somebody said, I know that's right. Say amen right there. And that's not only good for this house, but it's good for my house also. And so, I need you to understand that whatever God allows you to be connected to in relationship to his plan and his work, you need to understand that the work is always bigger than you. Somebody say it's bigger than you. Or look at the right person this morning, or look in the mirror at yourself and say, it's bigger than you. Or if I had time this morning, I would make you understand that this sermon ought to have a part two, but I'm going to do the best I can. That whenever God does something, he is doing it beyond just you. If you stick with God long enough, you will find out that sometimes God will make you a principal player. Somebody say principal player. And what God is doing, and sometimes you will be a back burner character. Somebody say back burner character. In other words, sometimes you will be behind the scenes, and sometimes you will be up front. Stop by early this morning to tell ye that have an ear, hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church, because you will not always be the center of attraction all the time in God's plan. Somebody say hallelujah. You have to understand that whenever God connects you to in his plan, that he's not connecting you to it for you. I believe that one of the biggest mistakes we make as Christians is that we think that when we feel that we're not getting fulfillment and everything that we're connected to, then God must not be part of it. Somebody say mercy. I need you to understand that God has you connected to stuff, not for you to be recognized, but to be connected to stuff, because sometimes he wants somebody else to be blessed because of you. Whether you know it or not, you are blessed. Mm-hmm. And so I submit unto you the next time God is doing something in your life, don't ask what you're going to get out of it, but begin to ask yourself, how is it that God is going to use me to bless somebody else? Somebody say preach. Uh-huh. Can I press my point just a little more? I'm so sorry for the congestion. Y'all keep praying for me. For you see, when you first start out with God, he may put you in a principal position or even in concert, and then orchestrated in such a way that you become the part of the larger plan, so he can use you to get glory out of your life and bless somebody else through you. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, the day the plan went beyond you. Oh, yes, it did. Because he knew as soon as you got saved, then he could use you to get somebody else saved. Somebody say amen. Ah, come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. My God, as mean as some of y'all were and still is, when the people heard you were saved or even attempting to come to church, they knew that there must be a God somewhere. Somebody talk back to me. Uh-huh. And the reason you became an essential part of the plan is because there was a specific plan just for you. Somebody may not even know your name right now. Because of how God is going to use you, they will know you. Uh-huh. There are some folks that's going to come to Jesus through you, and the blessing that God does through you that will do greater things than you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. You ought to not have no problem with that, because I've got some Bible to back it up. I may be congested, but I got Bible to back it up. Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, one day I am the Son of the living God. Didn't he say so? Mm-hmm. He said, I got all power in my hand. But by the time I leave this place, you will be able to do greater things than I have done. Jesus said, greater what shall you do? Didn't he say so? Somebody ought to say greater. Uh-huh. Say it one more time. Somebody say greater. Uh-huh. I stopped by early this morning to tell you it is a sick mentality when you don't want other folks to do greater than you. Mm-hmm. I know you hear me good here. Because look, if your wife is doing better than you, my brother, I mean, what's the problem? You ought to be happy because it's good for the whole house. Somebody say amen. If your children are doing better than you, don't hold them back with that old school mentality. Push them. Push them on to do better works than you. Somebody saying, if me and somebody, you ought to give them a high five and say, do better than me. Uh-huh. Do better than me. Let me try to move this train. And so when we get to the place and mentality of pushing others to do greater works than you, it is then that God in your humility can lift you of where you started from. Mm-hmm. And so I pray this morning that I've made it clear that we miss the plan of God because we forget that it is a blessing to be part of God's plan in the first place. And certainly it is foolishness for us to think that the plan ain't the plan unless we are the plan. They say hallelujah. I need Amos to help me right here. Come on over here, Amos. Amos told me around the 7th chapter and around verse 9, that God jumped on the people of God one day, the children of Israel, and he said to them, do you think that you're the only people that I'm with? Uh-huh. I'm working with some other folks besides y'all. Uh-huh. And some pastors need to tell some of your parishioners that same thing. Do you think you're the only people God's going to assign to me? I've got many souls that's on their way right now. I've got some people down in Egypt that love me, and I've got some people in Syria that are known to God's unchanging hand. Do you understand that God is working with some folks besides you and I, and we're not the only plan? I feel the Holy Ghost. And so we have to break out of this mindset and understand that, yes, even in this particular situation we're in, on this notable day that God has allowed us to see, it is God's plan and is bigger than you and I. Somebody ought to say it's bigger. Stop by to tell you God had it going on before you arrived here. And guess what? He's going to have it going on when you leave here. Oh, yes, he will. Somebody say number two. Mm-hmm. Not only do we miss the move of God and don't want to be participants in God's plan unless we are the plan, it's because we miss something I call shifting. Somebody say shifting. I need to be clear, and then I'm going to try to close this thing, because you cannot talk about God without talking about seasons. The power of a ship comes at the end of a season, and the season, as you and I know, it consists of a cycle, and the cycle we have is fall, winter, spring, and summer. Write about it, somebody say amen. That becomes a cycle, and at the end of the cycle, it becomes a shifting, which really takes us to another year. But in the spiritual, this is how it works. Oh, I need to pray in church right here. This is how it works. I've got some seasons in my life. I have some times in my life that I flourish and I prosper. And then there's sometimes there's newness coming forth in my life, and it reminds me of spring and summer. But then I'm reminded, that fall is preparing me for what I have to go through, because I found out if I stay long enough. Oh, grandmama told me well. She said, if you stay on the battlefield long enough, you will have winter time in your life. If I'm right about it, somebody say amen. And see, some of y'all think when it's spring and summer, you and arrive that you're in like Flynn. But I stop by to tell you, that's part of the season, because a season ain't a season unless you complete the cycle. Oh, you ought to put your hands on your hips and let your backbone slip and repeat after me. You got to complete the cycle. Say it again. You have to complete the cycle. Oh, glory to God. And so the whole power of the season is this. I've got to take the bitter with the sweet. I've got to take the good with the bad. And I have to take the ups with the downs. And if I can add one more, I've got to move when God say move. Because it's the downs that will prepare me for my shifting in God. And when you understand about shifting, the only way you can get prepared for it, if you got to understand that it is directly connected to the power of a shaking. Look at somebody and say, it's time for a shaking. So whenever you say shift, you got to say shake. Oh, glory to God. Because if you understand and understood the move of God and sensitive to the spirit of God, you would have handled and understood why you lost some things. For it was for a reason. You would have understood why you lost some friendships. For it was for a reason. And you would have understood when you lifted up your hands and said, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You would have understood that the ship was only going to take you to a shake. You ought to shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off now and tell them it's time for a shake. And I'm trying to close, but my brother Neil, he stopped by early this morning. Hallelujah. And he done stirred me up in the spirit, because he reminds us that this work that the Lord has assigned our hands to is not a you thing, but it is a us thing. It's not a you thing, it's a we thing. Not a you, it's our thing. Somebody say amen. Can I go ahead and preach for a minute the book? The book says that Nehemiah is trying to build up the wall that have been destroyed, but he has some player haters. You all know player haters, don't you? They can't stand it when you're doing good, but when you're doing bad, player haters is around you all the time. And what he's doing in God and the work that he's doing, the more he works and the harder he works, they try to pull him down, but the harder he stays focused. You ought to say stay focused. And the word says that crowd was challenging the outside, but now we got problems, because not only is the devil messing with him from the outside, now he's messing with him from the inside also. Somebody gonna pray for me. Listen here, look at somebody and tell them for me, because I know what I'm talking about. Tell them it's the inside that hurts the most. Good God Almighty, I want you to understand that the devil comes to church and he comes to revivals. He has positions on the choir, on the usher board, on the deacon board, and don't none of the above understand the move of God. But you got to put on the whole armor of God for the outside and the issue. Glory to God. The word says there was a group of people who had a little bit of money. And you all know money is funny in the church sometimes. And the people who didn't have what they had, they taxed them more. And because they all belonged to each other, they knew they had to use their own resources to build the wall. Well, let's look at the text. The Bible says that Nehemiah got wind of it, and he reminded the people that whenever God makes you a promise, that a promise is whatever you sow, good God Almighty, that shall you also reap. Uh-huh. Listen here. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. Uh-huh. God will in your hands, and he'll give it back to you some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Let's look at the text. Nehemiah called for a meeting. It's good to have a meeting every now and again. And the meeting, he said, we are all brothers and sisters, for we are family. Mm-hmm. We got to work. Because if we can't get along down here, we're not going up there. Am I right about it? Uh-huh. We can't destroy one another. We can't talk about one another. We can't stab one another in the back. We can't embarrass one another. I believe he said, walk together, children, don't you? There's a can meeting on the other side. And before we can deal with what's on the outside, we've got to deal with what's on the inside. We got demons and devils and snipers and robbers and thieves and murderers on the outside. My God, please don't let them come on in the inside. I'm on my way to my seat now for real time, for the word says, after he called for a meeting, the Lord fell on him, and the people agreed that we will say yes to God's will and yes to God's way. It's not all about us, but it's all about all of us, and we have to work together. Do you hear me this morning? And the word says that when he got finished, they all agreed. And I found out that there is power in agreement and being on one accord, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And the word says after they agreed, they made up in their minds, we're not going to tax one another, going to dog one another, we're not going to be jealous of one another, we're not going to be envious of one another. And then the preacher said, wait a minute, let's go just a little bit further. Uh-huh. I like it when the Holy Ghost say, let's go just a little bit further. Uh-huh. We're not just only going to give lip service. Mm-hmm. We will make a vow unto the Lord. Heard the songwriter said, I made a vow unto the Lord, and I will serve him until the day I die. Yes, I did. And the preacher said, if I find out that y'all been on that phone talking about the preacher, mm-hmm. if I find out y'all been in that van talking about the deacons, if I find out y'all been in the restaurant in the booth talking about one another, I've already prayed that God will shake your house and everything that's in it. Look at somebody and tell them it's time for a shaking. Uh-huh. I'm talking about the kind of shaking that will make it right, the kind of shaking that will make you talk right, the kind of shaking that make you pray right, the kind of shaking that will make you treat your neighbor right, the kind of shaking that will make you stop from judging folks. For I found out in the move of God, you can't judge a book by its cover. Because in the move of God, it's not you look at the outside, but it was on the inside that counts with God. Somebody say hallelujah. God will take a person who dressed funny and use them to prophesy. Come on, talk back to me. God will take a person that studying mother and make them preach all over the whole entire world. He is able to do that. Amen. What I'm talking about is time for that kind of shaking. And so I thought of not robbery earlier this morning to challenge you to that kind of shaking to prepare you for a blessing this week. I'm talking about the kind of shaking and blessing that will let the whole world know that this is God's program and not yours and not mine. I'm just glad to be part of what God is doing. If I know if God shake me, I live right. I know if God shake me, I'm going to be all right. Uh-huh. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, it's time for a shaking. You don't know God as your personal Savior. I introduced to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Come on, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, wash blood, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and save my soul. If you meant what you said and said what you meant, God surely will do exactly what you asked him, because his ear is not too heavy that he can't hear your prayers, nor his arms too short that he can't touch the infirmities of his children. And you have to do some work now. You're going to have to preach, that's preaching and practicing the word of God. Now, remember, there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect pastor, male or female. And if they were perfect, when you arrived, they wouldn't be perfect anymore. Listen, you stay there and get your soul fed the word of God. They grow there. Listen, they met you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. And till next Sunday morning at 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.